Episode 117, BulaNetwork.com. Greetings from Dallas, Texas. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is BulaNetwork.com. We are all about entrepreneurship, sales, marketing, management, workflow, systems. Sounds like a whole lot, doesn't it? Well, it is. It really, really is. Today, I want to talk with you about how do you want to spend your days? I think it's a good question. It's rather surprising how many people, they don't have an answer. Anyway, we're going to talk about that. Maybe a few other things next. Hey, before I begin, I want to ask you for a favor. I'd like some feedback. Yes, I would. And I know I'm not looking for praise. I'm looking for constructive criticism. I mean, if you don't want to make it constructive, then that's fine. Make it destructive. I don't care. It's free country. I won't get mad. I've got pretty thick skin, so tell me what you love. Tell me what you hate. Tell me what you'd like more of. Tell me what you'd like me to stop doing. 214-736-4406. 214-736-4406. I would like your feedback, please. So that'll be my one act of shameless. Well, it's not really a plug, really, is it? Or promotion. It's kind of more of a request. That's my single call to action. But I do want to express my thanks that you are here, my thanks that you listen to the podcast, that you subscribe to the podcast. I greatly do appreciate it. I hope you're finding some value in this as we embark on the journey to 117 now, episode 117. It seems like we just started, you know, 10, 20 years ago. Time flies. Somebody asked me the other day when my first episode was, when I started, and I looked at them and said, I have no earthly idea. And I meant to look that up before I hit record today, but I didn't. And they were commenting, man, over 100 episodes. I said, well, My number sequence is really not accurate because I don't know how many episodes I've done that I just did as special episodes. Don't ask me why I did that. Hey, this is all a process. Hey, before I get to the main thrust of the topic, that jogs my memory because I've been thinking about this for a long, long time. And I've been thinking about processes and doing what works and finding what works and who isn't obsessed these days a little bit with guruism and everybody scream for attention, and we all want it. We all need it. I think it was a video about what men need. I freely have come to grips with the fact that I need attention. I need admiration. And while it may be very much a male kind of a thing, I think it's not just a male kind of a thing. I mean, why do you think girls can go out and dress as provocatively as they do? I mean, come on. I don't agree with, you know, the kind of attention that some people want and the kind of attention that they get. But it still does speak to our need, our quest, our drive, our desire to get attention and to be admired, if not adored. And I freely admit that. I mean, I think that's just, I mean, part of that is just part of being a person, part of being people. But I've got two West Highland Terriers, and I can tell you right now, they want attention. I mean, we come in from being somewhere, and we put our key in the door to unlock the door, and, you know, they come running, tails wagging, and anxious to see us. And more often than not, you know, we greet them with something verbal. But it dawned on me the other day, you know, I mean, maybe I don't reach down and pet these poor creatures as much as I should. I love them, and I think they know that, but do they? I don't know. It's just kind of curious to me that the whole time and attention thing. And in keeping with that also is the way people go about getting attention and the various stories that we hear. I was listening to some podcasts the other day, and I listened to parts of two different ones. And one, there was an interview with a person that was, and I have some of his books in my library, and I'm not going to name names, but pompous. I mean, there's just no other, you know, my information is just, it's just critically important for people. And it's just, you know, and my passion is, he said, I just need to get this message out to more people because so many people can benefit. I'm sitting here in the gym with my earbuds in, and I'm thinking, well, man, isn't he just the business savior to the world? Well, he thinks he is. And the next one was a guy who was probably as or more successful than the first guy, but was very unassuming, just a super nice guy. And, you know, my kind of guy, just my kind of guy, a guy that says, listen, you know, I've fallen on my face more times than I can count. And I've tried this and it didn't work. And I'm just going to tell you, here's what I did find that works. And here are some suggestions that I can make based on what I've learned. And I thought, you know, it's a whole, and there are people that flock to the one guy, the first guy, and there are people that flock to the second guy. And I understand it. Well, I think I do. I mean, I understand that it's not one size fits all. People are wired very, very, very differently. And, you know, while we may look in the mirror and we may think, well, who wouldn't like me? Everybody would like me. No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. Now, I learned that the hard way, I can tell you, a long time ago. So I don't have any, there are no misgivings on my part that I am not everybody's cup of tea. And the fact is, I'm okay with that. And you know what's more? I don't want to be. I really don't want to be everybody's cup of tea. I get an email the other day. And the fellow, you know, he reached out and he asked me about a few things and wanted my take on it. And had no idea. Don't know who this person is. I thanked him for writing. He indicated that he watched some of the videos and listened to the podcast. And I mean, didn't even tell me where he was from. I mean, I couldn't even tell you what state he lives and works in. I mean, nothing. I don't know. I don't know anything. I don't know how old he is. Nothing. And at the end, he commented that as a matter of curiosity, you know, he really wasn't sure what I was up to, when it came to business. And he didn't say it that way. I should have pulled up the email and read the sentence. I don't remember exactly how he worded it, but it was words to the effect of, you know, what exactly do you do? And I do get that a lot. I admittedly get that a lot because, listen, as much as I'm into sales and marketing, I realize that I need to have something for sale. Do I have any plans to put something for sale? I'd love to tell you that I have some grand plan, but to do that, but I don't. Do I have some ideas, and have I had ideas? Absolutely, I've had ideas, but it's just, and it leads to the topic of today's show. How do you want to spend your days? I don't necessarily mean all day, but how do you want to spend your days? So you wake up in the morning and you go to bed at night, and the time between waking up and going to bed, what will you have done? What will you have accomplished? And don't say, I want to sit on the beach and I want to drink fruity drinks. You really want to do that all day, every day, all your life? No, nobody wants to do that. Do they? I mean, beach bums don't want to do that. Now, you might want to go do it for a week. You might even want to do it for two, but you're not going to want to spend your life that way. So I'm sitting across from someone some weeks ago, and I posed this question, right? I mean, toes are off the ledge. She's ready to just call it a day, call it a week, call it a month, call it a year, call it a life. Can't take it anymore. Sick of this. Nothing's working. I've got this intrusion. I got that intrusion. You know, everybody wants a piece of me and yada, yada, yada. And who has not been there? Who among us has not been there with our toes hanging over the ledge? Just let me jump. Right? So here I am doing my usual talk you off the ledge routine. And I pose the question. So clearly today you're not spending your time the way you'd like. These activities and these intrusions and this commotion and all of this chaos, that's not how you want to live your life, huh? No, of course not. Who would? I said, well, I don't know. It seems to characterize the way you spend your days. Boy, you got that right. Question. How do you want to spend your days? What do you mean? I said, well, that's exactly what I mean. How do you want to spend your days? Yeah, that's what it sounded like. Just completely bumfuzzled. I said, you hadn't thought about it, have you? And because you haven't thought about it, you now find yourself spending your days in ways that you really are making you miserable and unhappy and unproductive, by the way. I mean, you are in many ways your own worst enemy. You are in many ways your own biggest problem. But I can't tell you how you want to spend your days. Man alive, I'm like anybody else. I wrestle with how I want to spend my own days. And so there's the question for today. And it needs more than just today, by the way. I mean, I'll go ahead and forewarn you. This question can just linger and linger and linger, and you can wrestle with it, and you can spend time with a notebook and a pen. You can spend time with a Word document. You can talk into a microphone or a webcam, and you can sit down with your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. You can wrestle it 8 ways to Sunday, and you still might be wrestling with it. I personally have not encountered a person who had what I would call clarity in being able to off the cuff answer that question, because most of us have just not thought about it. Most of us have not given it consideration. Now, what we have given consideration is what we think we want. So, I have a conversation with a business owner, and revenues are down from last year. Not a good time. Now, they're not down crazy, but they're down. It's a bad trend. Well, he's in great company. There's a lot of folks out there suffering downturns in sales. Well, he's feeling the pinch. There are more months that he's chasing cash than he's not. And that's not fun. Chasing cash is never fun for any business, but many businesses have to do it. And he's lamenting the fact that, you know, it seems like everywhere he turns, everybody wants to talk a big game, right? Everybody wants to talk about, oh man, you know, yeah, things are great. Things are wonderful. And he's like, you know, am I the only one out here who's struggling? I said, no, you're not the only one out here who's struggling. You know, a lot of people are lying, and there are people that are doing well, but there are people that are struggling. And so we have a conversation about spending your days, because he was obsessing about a particular problem that, in my estimation, based on what I knew of his business, was not really a particularly significant problem. And yet he was devoting a lot of mental energy to it. And I was trying to steer him toward other things that I thought would be more profitable for him and his business. And in that conversation, talked about how we spend our days and what we spend our days obsessing about. And don't we all obsess about something? Probably. Now, some of us are more obsessive than others, but we get preoccupied. We have our quirks, right? We have little things that, buttons that get pushed. And they don't necessarily have to be very rational. They don't have to be logical at all. They don't even have to make sense to anybody. They don't even make sense to us sometimes, but little things can just completely irk us, set us off. And we can't get our head wrapped around anything but that. And when you stop and analyze it, you can look at it and you can say, okay, if it were solved, if it were exactly the way you would want it, what kind of a difference would that make in your business? And more often than not, the conclusion that I try to help people reach, because it seems obvious to me, easy for me now, right? Because I've got some safe distance. It's not my business. It's my business only in the sense that it's their business, and, you know, they matter and their business matters. But I don't have quite the investment, the emotional investment in it that they do. And so I have this safe distance that they do not have. And once you're able to kind of hold this thing in your hand and you turn it around and you kind of look at it from every angle and you realize, you know what? This is absolutely nothing. I mean, even if I solved this to my liking and got it the way I perfectly, absolutely wanted it, it would have absolutely no impact on my business. But I it wouldn't drive me crazy. And I said to him, I said, well, you know, what drives you crazy is what drives you crazy. I'm not saying that you can just hit a switch and disconnect that. I am saying that you have to learn to kind of temper that. You have to learn to manage that. And you've now got to determine, how are you going to spend your days? Are you going to spend your days obsessing about things that don't matter? Are you going to spend your days stepping over dollars to pick up nickels, pennies, dimes, even quarters? Many people do. Many business people do. Many people in their careers do the same thing. Many people obsess about things that really don't matter. I've recently observed some politics happening at a low level in a company, and it's just interesting to watch. It's interesting to watch, you know, the whole alpha dog kind of a syndrome thing that people try to conjure up, and it's just very interesting. It's very interesting, and you see all the gamesmanship and all the things that go on, and you realize, you know, this person is battling, they're battling for something, and they're obsessing about something that it's not going to pay. It's not going to pay off. It's not going to pay off. They are focused on the wrong things. And I guess that really is the big, big issue when it comes to, how do we want to spend our days? Upon what are we focused? What are you going to spend your time thinking about? What are you going to spend your time doing? Now, I would love to tell you that I am the end-all be-all when it comes to proper time management and efficiency, but I'm not. Now, I know many people who put themselves out there as being, you know, they're very proficient, very prolific, and they've got it all figured out. I don't. I'm very much a work in progress. And sometimes more work than progress. But that's okay. You know, it's just kind of how it goes. Will I ever have it figured out? I don't know. I just hope to be getting closer. And the phrase that, or the word that I keep kind of hammering, not only for my own life, but for other people that I'm trying to help, is the word intention. What's your intention? Now, in some cases, you know, you get, and as you could well imagine, I'm snarky, and so I'm attracted to snarky people. And occasionally, you know, I'm graced with the presence of another snarky person. You know, so I pose this, you pose the question, and the answer comes back. You know, I mean, so what's your intention here? Well, my intention is to not be hacked off. Well, they won't say hacked. I'm polite. And of course I chuckle just like I did now. I mean, it is funny, and sure. I mean, who doesn't have that intention? Well, I know some people who they like nothing better than to get up in the morning and be hacked off. So it seems they love to be hacked off, and they love to act hacked off all day, every day. Boy, there's a great way to spend your days, right? You know what I want to do in the morning? I want to get up and I want to be so hacked off I can't see straight. And I want to stay that way all day long until I go to bed at night. And then I want to dream about getting up the next day being more hacked off than I was the day before. Yeah, that's how I want to spend my time. But you and I both know people who act that way, right? They behave as though that's the goal. And it's like, man, good job. Hey, can I just compliment you? Yeah, on what? Man, you're doing a great job of being hacked off. And you know that would just royally hack them off. So, see, it's the perfect opportunity for you to contribute to the way someone wants to spend their days. Go up and compliment somebody that's a real jerk. Tell them, man, I just want to tell you you're just doing a killer job at being a jerk. You are one of the most accomplished jerks I know. It would just fuel their day, wouldn't it? But seriously, how do you want to spend your days? And now, before you go chasing down, you know, some vision of a beach somewhere, when we're talking about your life, and we're talking in particular, we're talking about your work life. We're talking about what you're going to do to earn a living. Oh, I know everyone hates that. Earn a living. I don't want to earn a living. I want to chase a passion. Well, that's fine. Chase a passion, but you still have to earn a living. If you can earn your living chasing your passion, that's great. It's wonderful. My hat's off to you. I hope you can do that. But there are a lot of people who can't. Oh, everybody can. No, they can't. No, they can't. Take a look around at the work that must be done. You hold in your hand some kind of a smartphone, and more often than not, it may be an iPhone. Someone manufactured that iPhone, you know. Not in America, mind you. Someone had to put those parts and pieces together. Do you suppose that everyone who touched the iPhone that you hold, or the iPad, or even the iMac that may sit in front of you, as mine sits in front of me, do you suppose that every single one of those, that's their passion? You know what I want to do? I want to work for Apple for low wages and put together iPhone 4Ss. Yes, that's what I want to do. Oh, it's just invigorating to me. But if you didn't have them, you wouldn't be holding that iPhone. You wouldn't be holding that iPad if those people didn't do their jobs. Yeah, it's micros, dirty jobs and all that. We need these jobs done. There's not one thing wrong with honorable work. Okay, so it's not your passion. Can you feed your family? That's always kind of been my passion. My passion has been to kind of eat every day. Have a safe place to live every day. What's wrong with that passion? Now, no, I'm not anti-chase your dream. But there is the practical reality of it all. How are we going to spend our days? Are we going to spend our days with our business just completely running us ragged and running us in the ground where we don't hit the pause button, tap the brake just a little bit, pull back and say, you know, wait a minute, this is not working. I mean, we're living in a day and age where it seems on one hand, you've got the arrogant, pompous person, like I described in the first interview, who's not made any mistakes, right? He's God's gift. And then you've got the other person who they've achieved some success, but man, along the way, they got their brains beat out. I was watching last night, and if you haven't seen this, you must see it. You really must. Jeff Dunham is the, you know, comedic ventriloquist genius. Ahmed the Terrorist is one of his characters. I had no idea. Did you have any idea that this man builds these things himself? Well, I didn't. He has hand built each one of these things. I mean, the eye movements and the eyebrow movements and everything. I mean, he's built them from scratch. I assumed that the guy commissioned somebody that built these things. I mean, I figured he certainly came up with them and helped in the design and drawing them out. But no, we're talking from scratch, kids. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, it's on the Biography Channel. I don't know the name of it. It's The Birth of a Dummy. Jeff Dunham, The Birth of a Dummy on the Biography Channel. And the birth of the dummy is Ahmed, the dead terrorist, has a son, Ahmed Jr., AJ. And it shows him creating AJ from scratch, from a drawing to a three-dimensional kind of a rendering on a computer. And he has a 3D printer. Where have I been living? I didn't even know there were 3D printers. This is a huge device. He produces some kind of a contraption that has its little wheels and like gears. He shows that and he says, yeah, he said, you know, I did this in this 3D printer. He said, it came out just like this. I mean, fully functional. And I'm like, that's awesome. I had no idea that there were these contraptions. I'm sure they're enormous money, but I a 3D printer. So he does this laser beam thing that renders this 3D whatever. Oh, he does it out of clay. That's what he did. He did it out of clay, and then this laser thing kind of read around it, rendered it on his computer in 3D. He dumps that file to the printer of a 3D printer, and out comes the head of AJ. Now, it's not painted and all that, obviously. He's still got to do all that. But, I mean, all of the features, everything, it's incredible. 42 hours. Because it prints like, you know, I don't know, a millimeter a minute or something. I don't know. Now, he's got to go in and he's got to cut in the proper places so the jaw moves and cut out, you know, the eye sockets and do all of his magic then. And shows him painting it and whatnot. Well, that's all beside the point, but it's interesting, isn't it? Here's a guy that started out and he was rejected, if I'm not mistaken, he was rejected by the Tonight Show 9 times. The talent coordinator, director, the guy that books people on the Tonight Show, he had tried and tried and tried, and the guy just turned him down. Well, he had a 6-minute routine, and he knew that this guy was going to be in the audience again. This was the 9th time, and so he goes out and he feels like, you know, I mean, he'd been working it. And he knew the 6 minutes. He had it down cold, man. I mean, it was great. It was wonderful. He felt like he nailed it. But he goes back to the car and he opens the trunk, puts his stuff in there. Excuse me. Puts his stuff in there and he's thinking, yeah, you know, hey, that's just the best I could do. Man, if that doesn't work, then, you know, it's just not meant to be. And the guy comes out from the Tonight Show and says, you're on. What? You're on. So he goes on the Tonight Show and he does the routine and he sees the stage director pointing over to Johnny's desk. He's one of three. I did not know this. He is one of three comedians who, on their first visit, to the Tonight Show, Johnny invited over to take a seat. Jeff Dunham was one. Interesting story. Really interesting story. A lot of ups and downs. A lot of ups and downs, including a divorce. And yet we sometimes want to think that the road to success is just, it's always onward and upward. And we know better. We just know better. And I don't care who on the internet tells you that, yeah, you know, this happened to me, and boy, from there on, I'm just, you know, now I'm God's gift, and everything is great and wonderful, and you need to listen to me because, you know, everything I do works. Well, I'm here to tell you, I've done a ton of stuff that just doesn't work. Hasn't worked. I've rammed my head into a brick wall more times than I can count trying to figure out, okay, there's a door somewhere here. It's just me. You know, maybe I'm just an idiot and maybe everybody else is brilliant. Or it could be that there are some frauds out there. You know, it could be that there's some folks that they just don't want to tell us how bad things are. Well, here's a guy that is now playing arenas. I mean, big time arenas. He came here to Dallas and he played American Airlines. American Airlines is where the Mavericks play. It's where the Dallas Stars play hockey. I mean, this is it's 16,000 people, you know, for a basketball game or a hockey game. It's got to be something like that, you know, for this guy. Oh, and here's a cool part of the story. I won't blow too much of it. Tries to get on Comedy Central because that's probably where you've seen the guy. That's where I saw the guy. Comedy Central. Well, years and years, he can't get on Comedy Central. They're like, we're not going to fool with a ventriloquist. Come on, that's not. And even though some of his stuff was very edgy, I mean, come on, Ahmed the Dead Terrorist was very controversial. But when he came out with Ahmed, things skyrocketed. Sure, it was controversial. But, you know, people love a good controversy, and people loved this character. Couldn't get on Comedy Central still. Well, you know, we don't do puppets. Took a huge gamble when he didn't have the money to do it. You know, you think about these people and you think, well, they just must make tons and tons of money. Yeah, well, he was making good money, but he was spending every dime of it and then some. And so they hire videographers and they do a show. And they self-produce a DVD. Arguing with Myself, I think, was the subtitle of it. I think it was, you know, Jeff Dunham, Arguing with Myself. And everything was first class. I mean, they did it. It was shot spectacularly. It was high quality. And they produced this DVD. They sold 2 million units. And according to his manager, you know, I mean, other acts, you know, if they sold 20 to 50,000, home run, they sold 2 million units. The first thing that Comedy Central, after turning him down and turning him down again, they finally took a shot. And what they did is they aired the DVD. They used his management comes to Comedy Central, says, we've got it. You don't have to do anything. You just got to play it. It's broadcast ready. And they did. And it was one of the highest rated episodes they'd ever aired. And now they're scratching their head and they're thinking, the guy's got puppets. Who'd have thunk it? Well, now there's your brain trust at Comedy Central. So, you know, they're spending their days telling him he's an idiot. He's spending his days, and it shows pictures of him as just a little kid. He's doing what he always wanted to do. That's cool. That's very cool. And he's really talented. I mean, come on. I mean, just his ability to create these things. I had no idea he built these things from scratch. That's pretty impressive. I mean, he's a pretty impressive artist. I mean, forget the comedy routine, the ventriloquism. Is that a word? I think so. He's spending his days doing what he wants. Now, yes, there it could be very safely argued. He has paid a price. He's paid a price. He's been living on airplanes. He sacrificed a marriage. He's got three daughters. A hard life. But you know what we do? We look at him. We look at his celebrity. And I don't want to be a comedian. But we look at his celebrity and we think, man, that'd be great, wouldn't it? I mean, how cool would it be to play American Airlines Arena? How cool would that be? How cool would it be to have 16,000 people buy tickets to come see you, come watch you, come listen to you? Now, yeah, it absolutely paralyzed most of us, but you know, there's some level of our brains that thinks, man, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? And think of how much money he must be making, right? Think about how cool his life must be. And what we don't think about is does a show, gets on a plane, flies to another city, does it again, gets on a plane, flies to another place, does it again, gets on a plane, flies to a place, and he's gone and he's gone and he's gone. And he may be gone, you know, 9, 10, 11 months out of the year. Do you want to do that? Well, no, I don't want to do that. But, you know, I want all the good stuff. I don't want all the crud that goes with it. Well, that's the problem. That's the problem. How you spend your time. We sometimes take a look at what we think we want. We want the money. We want the notoriety. We want the fame. Well, you know what? There's a price to be paid to get it. I know people who think that they would love to be, they want to speak. I've told people for decades, man, the last thing, as much as I love public speaking, and I do, and I do a fair amount of it, as much as there is no way. You living on a plane, waking up in a new city. I mean, if you're going to make a go of it, dude, you will be traveling. Girl, you will be traveling if you're going to be successful. Yeah, well, you may love the moment on stage. You may love the moment on the platform, but the problem is you are going to be gone from home. I am much too much a homebody to want that kind of a life. But we think the notoriety and the fame and the money, man, you know, the money, that'd be great. Business people do the same thing. Because we don't come to grips with how we want to spend our days. And let me end on this note on how we need to spend our days. You don't want to spend your days obsessing about things that don't matter. But you may not even want to spend your days obsessing about things that do matter. But you have to. You need to. For the business owner that's chasing cash, cash is king, not content. Cash is king. Trust me. You better be focused on how to generate cash. If you're going to obsess about something, not that you want to obsess about something, but if you're going to obsess about something, you better obsess about that. Because it's critical. And there are these issues in our lives. There are these things in our businesses that are critical. We've got to focus on what's critical. I've made the analogy sometimes. It's a little bit like a person who has some major health calamity. Let's say a major injury. Yeah, we've all seen these documentaries and these shows on TV, and they wheel somebody into an emergency room and they've got a gunshot wound, a stab wound, they've been in a car wreck, something. And, you know, first things first, I mean, what do we got to do? Well, we have to stabilize the patient. We've got to make sure the blood pressure is what it needs to be, pulse is strong. We've got to get the vital signs where they need to be so that we can continue to work on this person. Because if the vital signs all go south, we're out of time. Death is imminent. Our lives, our careers, our businesses have vital signs. We got to stop the bleeding. We've got to get the vital signs back. And it may not be what you want to do. I mean, a doctor may not just want to be performing under that kind of pressure all the time. And a doctor may say, you know, I don't want to sit here and I don't want to spend my days holding a heart in my hand, but there are times where you must. Is that going to define your entire career? Well, no, but this moment in time, it is the necessary thing. So you better spend some time doing it. And you better have the ability that the doctor has. You better have the ability to properly triage and understand, here's what I got to do, and here's what I got to do right now. Why? Well, because we want to live, right? We want to live to fight another day. We want to live to live another day. Spend some time thinking about how you want to spend your days. And I don't mean in La La Land. I don't mean in Dreamville. That's fine. Assign a little bit of time to dream. And that's cool. We all love to dream. Even fantasize, if you please. But don't spend all of your time doing that. Spend your time thinking about what you can do to move your life, your profession, your business forward. What can you do to make yourself more valuable where you are? What can you do to make yourself a better business owner, a better business leader? What can you do to make yourself a better salesperson? What can you do to make yourself a better engineer? What can you do to make yourself a better chemist, a better dentist, a better whatever it is you do to be better? Because there's something that we can all do, and there are ways that we can spend our days doing those things, and we can improve, and we can grow and get better. It's the objective, you know. Lots of questions are worth asking. I have found in my life that the difficulty is spending the time to provide an answer. This is one of those questions. How do you want to spend your days? I hope that you want to spend some parts of your day, some portions of your day, listening to me. Because I'm the end-all, be-all. No, I hope that I'm a voice that can spark within you some inspiration. I hope that I can give you some food for thought. I hope that I can provide you some degree of encouragement. I hope that I can be some positive resource for you. That's all this is about. And without sounding corny and without sounding hokey, the fact of the matter is, you know, we've all got problems. We've all got situations and troubles. And to just try to help each other get through another day, to try to help each other press forward, I don't know, that may be as good as it gets, you know? And on a personal level, for me, that's cool. It's just pretty cool because you're not listening to a guy who doesn't need help. You're not listening to a guy who doesn't need other people. You're not listening to a guy who's sitting here believing that he's got all the answers. I'm surrounded by books. I'm surrounded by podcasts. I'm surrounded by video. I'm surrounded by real live human beings who tell me how it is. And there are so many days that I don't have answers, and there are so many days that, you know, I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm just trying to share my experience, and hopefully there's some things that you can learn along the way. Trying to be a resource for people. Trying to kind of pay it forward a little bit, and frankly, trying to pay it back as well, because I've lived long enough, more than most of you. I got some people in my past that have helped me learn some things and be who I am. I hope you will subscribe to the podcast. I started off talking about a call to action, but I'm going to give you some more. Subscribe to the podcast. I would greatly appreciate it. That little Apple iTunes icon over there, you can subscribe through iTunes, or you can hit that RSS icon and you can do it straight to whatever your favorite reader is. Probably not many people use those. I do. In fact, let me tell you, there's an RSS reader that I used to use, Google Reader, but, and I don't know if this may just be a Mac thing, Net News Wire. It will integrate with your Google Reader. It's It's great. It's great. I've just got it over in my .net news wire. If I can remember, I'll put that in the show notes. But I would love it if you would subscribe. I would love it if you would leave me some positive feedback and connect with me any way that you choose. I would, honestly, I really would like to hear if anything is helping you, if there's anything that you think I can do, if there's things that I'm doing that bug you and you wish I'd stop it. I'm up for that too. So, like I said, I don't claim to have all the answers. I hope to have good questions, though. That really is kind of the point. My name is Randy Cantrell, coming to you from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. And what else? The website is BulaNetwork.com. And this is the Yellow Studio.